Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. Welcome to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN, presented right here on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, with me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, and back in the driver's seat, as always, is my co-host, Ray Jones. Ray, what's up with you?
Hey, what's up, Kelsey? I'm excited, man. We got a big interview today. I'm really ready to get into the show.
Yeah, we will not keep the guests waiting. And always back, as usual, our one and only sports analyst, Tyrone Poole. Tyrone, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Ready to work that thing as usual.
All right. My co-hosts are ready. My sports analyst is ready. So let's get in today's show, where we will welcome in a former NFL linebacker whom Pittsburgh Steelers fans should know very well, after he played 11 seasons in the NFL, 9 of which were in Pittsburgh. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN. Now, of course, as always, we're going to start it with This Week in Sports History with Ray. But Ray, I have to say, shout out to Men Against Breast Cancer for having us this past weekend at their great event. Shout out to Brian J. Silver. Me and Ray had a fantastic time, all for a wonderful cause. The Listen In with KNN was in the building.
All right.
Yeah, we had a great time. Men Against Breast Cancer. It was great to see Brian have a great showing, a great turnout, for a lot of people to show support for a great cause.
Yeah, and we missed you, Tyrone. Don't worry. We had you there.
I know, right? Next time.
Next time. All right, Ray, give us our sports history.
All right. So, you know, I was successful last week, so I got to hit you guys with another joke of the day. just laugh if you don't like it, but I think it's going to be a good one. So here it goes. Why did the golfer wear two pairs of pants?
Why?
Because he had a hole in one.
Oh, you ruined my joke, Chelsea. I don't want to do it anymore.
I actually got that one.
You got to let me say it. In case he got a hole in one.
That's good. I like
very
that.
Very funny.
That was the last joke I'm going to tell. That was terrible. That was the last joke I'm going to tell. All right, but anyway, let's get right into it. This week in sports, you know, January 21st, back in 1954, this day marked the first time in NBA All-Star game history that an overtime period was needed to decide the winner. The Boston Celtics guard, the legendary Bob Cousy, had 10 points in overtime scoring. He ended up leading the East to a 98-93 win, and he also won MVP honors. And if you also, an additional note for that, the 1954 All-Star game was the first time, was the last time an NBA All-Star team, both teams, ended up with under 100 points. So it was actually an influential day for both sides. First time in overtime, and the last time the team scored over 100, under 100.
Wow. So it sounds like they actually played defense in that All-Star game. I will also be going to January 21st, 1995, though, when John Stockton became the NBA's all-time career assist leader when he got his 9,922nd. Yes, they used to share the ball in basketball. Now let me hand it over to you, Tyrone.
All right, I got it going up the middle. Since our guest is going to be Laverne Kirkland, former linebacker, inside linebacker. Nimble Toes, as we're going to call him. January 21st, 1979, Super Bowl 13, the Orange Bowl. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Dallas Cowboys 35-31. Terry Bradshaw, Pittsburgh Steelers, Blonde Bomber, as they called him, was the game's MVP.
Good memories. Thank you, fellas, for giving us our history, as we always like to touch on. And now we, of course, have to switch over to sports around the nation, where all eyes on Sunday were watching the NFL championship games, where, of course, we had the Patriots at the Chiefs and the Rams at the Saints. We'll kick it off with the Patriots at the Chiefs, since that's kind of the less controversial game. But, of course, that game ended 37-31, and what a thriller that was. I'll start off with you, Tyrone, as a former New England Patriot. How are you feeling about that win?
Well, you know, I'm getting that question very often now, but just like people don't like to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I become comfortable the team being in the Super Bowl. So really, it was just, you know, another walk in the park, so to speak. But on a stronger note, you know, these games are hard to win, and anytime you can get back to the championship game, this is the Patriots' third time, you know, it just says wonders about the organization.
Well said, well said. And staying on that, Ray, I mean, Tom Brady punching his ticket to his ninth Super Bowl in the overtime victory. I mean, is Brady truly the GOAT?
Oh, he's definitely the GOAT. But he's going to always be the GOAT. I don't think anybody's ever going to catch up to him. He's accomplished a lot of things in his career. But I think the main emphasis on this game, we have to look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Their defense, it plagued them all season long, and it kind of killed them here in this game. If you go back to the stats for the game, the New England Patriots only had one negative play the entire game, and that play was the Tom Brady kneel down at the end of the game. They went over 90 plays, and they had only one negative play. And then in overtime, they converted three third downs on that game-winning drive. There was nothing that Kansas City Chiefs could do to stop them, and like you said, Brady's a GOAT, and he proved it again.
He proved it again, and also, I mean, we have to tip our hats off to Brady because after the game, he went to the Chiefs' locker room, asked the security guard if he could see Patrick Mahomes, and he talked to the 23-year-old quarterback who, of course, threw two touchdowns among the 24 points, and where it really was a back-and-forth fourth quarter, but it's nice to see the respect level. And all eyes are on Kansas City, though, fellas, because the Chiefs' quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, of course, he's been a bright young star that we've all been watching, and right now it's reported that the Chiefs are expected to extend his contract after next season, the first time that the MVP candidate is eligible for an extension. All right, guys, forget this. He could land the NFL's first $200 million contract, according to ESPN. So we'll have to keep our eyes on young Patrick Mahomes. He sounds like he's about to get paid, but well-deserved, well-deserved. Now let's switch it over to the controversial game and the LA Rams and the Saints playing in the Superdome. So, you know, I'm just going to start up with that pass interference call that everyone in New Orleans is saying should have been called, and it cost them a trip to the Super Bowl. The Times-Picayune calling them out. There's places in New Orleans offering referees free eye exams, Tyrone, after that missed call. What were your thoughts on that missed call? Should we be seeing Drew Brees in Atlanta for the Super Bowl?
Well, simple fact is, we've always been told as players, never leave the game in the hands of the referees. Now, regardless of what happened that on that play, yeah, you know, flag should have been thrown, a whole bunch of things should have happened. But let's not forget there were other opportunities in that game where the Saints could have done themselves some justice. So, you know, yes, that's a big blot that people see. You know, that's a big stain that people see. But let's go back and break down that game. The Saints still had opportunities.
Still had opportunities. And switching it over to the other side, Goff, 24 years old, is the fourth youngest quarterback to win in the conference championship round. Is it time we put some respect on his name, Ray?
I think it is time to put some respect on his name. He's been able to be consistent throughout the season. Of course, he had a couple off games, but he was able to still get his team to the NFC championship game. Despite Todd Gurley only having four carries for 10 yards, they were able to win that game. Yes, there was a blown call, but the Saints also made a lot of questionable play calls. On that last drive when they got the interference call, they decided to throw the ball on first down instead of, you know, running the clock down, using those big backs they have, Mark Ingram. They could have went to Kamara, and they elected the pass instead. And it ended up biting them in the butt because they ended up leaving a lot of time on the clock, and Jared Goff was able to carry his team down the field and kick the game-tying field goal with probably the greatest kicker of all time. Greg Zuerlein, he's been a beast for the last couple of years. I make sure every year I draft him in the fantasy draft. So we kind of knew that he was going to knock that down. And once they gave him the opportunity in overtime, you already knew it was game over.
Yes, two great games, two overtime thrillers. But congrats, we will now see the Rams versus the Patriots in Atlanta. I will be down there for listening with K&N and meeting, getting to work with Tyrone in Atlanta. So you guys will have to look out for coverage for that. But before we move on, let's talk about the upcoming Super Bowl. Let's actually just get to your thoughts and opinions. Tyrone, I'll start with you. Rams or Patriots, who do you have? And give me the final score.
You know who I'm going with, the Rams. I'm saying, no, not the Rams. No, I'm going with my Patriots. you know, I just think you can't bet against wisdom. You can't bet against experience. You know, we've seen what Belichick is great at doing. We've seen what Tom Brady is great at doing. You know, this is a team that they're going to go as far as Brady can go. And if the offensive line can protect Tom, and we all know that Belichick is going to come up with some type of X factor to give Jared Goff some trouble. I believe Belichick is going to go into this game like he's done every game. We saw it last night with Kansas City. We've seen it whenever he's played the Rams back in 2001 season. He's going to take away what they do best, and he's going to make them play one-handed. And about the time the team figures out what the Patriots defense is doing, the game is going to be almost over. So I believe he's going to do the same thing. He's going to take away what the Rams do best and make them play left-handed. So I'm going with the Pats. I believe they're going to slow down the Rams. I'm going to say it's going to be 27-21.
Ooh, okay. All right, let's switch it over to you. Like, give me your thoughts and why.
Well, today must be opposite day because I want to counter almost everything you said. Honestly, I think the Rams have the better defense in comparison to the Chiefs. They have the weapons on the outside. They have the two cornerbacks. They have Peters, and they have Aqib Talib to actually be able to run with Julian Edelman and kind of slow him down a little bit. They have the safeties to stay with Gronk. They have the line to actually put some pressure on Brady. We know Brady doesn't like pressure up the middle. You know, they got Ndamukong Suh, and they got Aaron Donald that's able to put that pressure up the middle and kind of get Tom Brady a little flustered. Whenever he has some deep linemen coming up his face, he gets a little flustered, you know, against my New York Giants. That's what we did. We were able to get to him often and early, and he wasn't able to lead them to victory. So I can definitely see the Rams defense playing a lot better than the Chiefs. And then the offensive side, like we said, Jared Goff played well. I do think Belichick is going to have some things for him that might confuse him a little bit, but I do expect a bigger game from Todd Gurley. And even if Todd Gurley doesn't have a huge game, I expect C.J. Anderson to perform well. He's been really hot lately, putting up a lot of yards, despite Gurley being as cold as he's been. But I definitely feel like the Rams have a lot of weapons on both sides that not necessarily the Patriots are going to be able to game plan for, and they're going to be able to compete with them. I see the Rams winning this. I actually was going to do a similar score, but since he said 27-21, I guess I'll go 30-23 in favor of the Rams.
And I'll say this. I understand, Ray saying what he's saying, but again, that's the same thing that the Seattle Seahawks said. They had probably the closest defense that I would say is similar to the Rams. So, again, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are saying the same thing. So, Ray, you have your right to say what you got to say, but you know what? I go with my experience, and I do believe the Patriots have brought this victory.
Are we
Tyrone has experience winning out.
Are you talking about the beast mode game when they should have handed it off to Marshawn Lynch? I feel like Pete Carroll gave that one away, man.
Bottom line, they lost.
You're right. Hopefully, Tyrone really gets the ball this time.
In an effort to get back our Seahawks fans on the show, I have to end that part of our conversation. That still hurts. Believe me, it still hurts. But going back to the conversation, I like this game. I do. I know many people are still mad in New Orleans about the Saints not being there. Would have been kind of funny if the Saints were playing in Atlanta. But anyways, I think it's going to be close like you guys. I do like the Rams defense, but the Patriots, Tom Brady always gets it done. He never frets when they're trailing. And even though this hasn't been the year I think that we expected of the Patriots, and even I don't think he has all the weapons like some other teams had in terms of name recognition, I think the Patriots are going to get the job done. I'm also going to keep the score pretty close. Ooh, what am I going to get for final score? I'm going to do 27-30. I'm going to do a field goal. I have a field goal separating the game. So that will be my thoughts, but we're in for a good one, yeah.
Hey, Kelsey, I got a question for Tyrone real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
Just a real quick. So if the Patriots do win, does Josh Gordon get a ring?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Josh Gordon. If he was on the roster, I would have to look into that. But I'm pretty sure if he was on the roster, then he's considered on the team. So, rules are rules. Every team is different. So I've never been in that position before, thank God. So really, I couldn't answer that question 100%.
I'm just curious.
But there have been teams that have given players rings you know, like a guy got traded, Garofalo got traded, and he still got a ring. You know, he got enough. Yeah, so, you know, you never know.
I was just curious because he wasn't there in the beginning of the season. Then he played a couple games, and then he kind of, like, left the way, you know, to get some treatment for his issues. So I was just curious, like, as a player, as a former player, would you – that's what I was just wondering. Would you want to give him a ring? I'm just curious if how that would turn out for those guys. But hopefully the Rams win, and we don't even have to ask those questions.
We'll just solve everything. We'll just solve everything. And interesting to note, this game will be a rematch of the 2002 title game, of course, that kind of started it all. If you guys remember that incredible 2002 Super Bowl victory, it was the St. Louis Rams, right, who had the offense that many said was better than any in the league. If you guys remember, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, I mean, just an unstoppable team. Many called it the greatest show on the turf. But the Patriots beat them 20-17 on that last second field goal by none other than Adam Vinatieri. Sorry to break some hearts out there, but had to bring that one back up. So we should be in a good one in Atlanta. We're going to continue this conversation after this quick commercial break, so stay tuned.
The Virginia State University Credit Union. You have all you need in the credit union. When working with the Virginia State University Credit Union, you can rest assured that you're doing business with people you know and people who know you. Membership is open to all Virginia State alumni, current students, and staff. It's easy to join. You can call them toll-free at 888-445-5105 or at 804-526-6708. You can click www.vsufcu.org or stop by. They're located at 3401 Boiso Street in Petersburg, Virginia. The Virginia State University Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to Listening with Kanan, the sports sound of the DMV. I'm Ray Jones, along with host Kelsey Nicole Nelson and two-time Super Bowl champion Tyron Poole. Join me in welcoming two-time All-Pro linebacker LaVon Kirkland. LaVon, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. It's my honor and pleasure.
And real quick, I just want to go through a rundown of your career highlights. I know you're a two-time All-Pro, a two-time Pro Bowler. You're NFL Alumni Linebacker of the Year, a two-time Pittsburgh Steelers Team MVP, the 1990s All-Team Decade, consensus All-American back in 1991, and you're also a member of the South Carolina Athletic Hall of Fame back in 2008. Did I miss anything?
You know what? That's good. That's good. There's some more stuff to go with it, but you're good. You're good.
Hey, feel free to fill us in on Miss
Collins. Oh, no, no. I'm humbled. Thank you very much for you guys having me on the show and, you know, highlighting my highlights. That's pretty cool. But, yeah, there's some more, but you guys did a good job.
All right. And before we get into the super serious questions, we want to do a little icebreaker game we like to call this or that. It's a very simple game where you pick one or the other. I give you two topics, and you got to decide between which one you decide. All right, first, you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Five Guys or In-N-Out Burger?
Five Guys.
Gatorade or Powerade?
Gatorade.
Sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie?
Come on, sweet potato pie.
Coke or Pepsi?
Wow, you know, I used to be a Coke guy, but now I'm a Pepsi guy.
Okay, Droid or iPhone?
iPhone.
Netflix or Hulu?
What was that last one?
Netflix or Hulu?
Oh, yeah, I got to go with next. Yeah.
Facebook or Twitter?
Ooh, Facebook.
All right, these next three, they're going to be a little tougher for you, so be careful on your answers here. DC or Marvel Comics?
DC.
Early mornings or late nights?
Early mornings.
Toilet paper over or under?
What was that last question? I'm sorry.
The toilet paper over or under?
Over.
I
had to think about that one.
That last question
we
always gets everybody.
That one.
Yeah, because that's not expected, but yeah, over. Yes, over.
All right, cool. You know, I just appreciate you joining the game. Just a little icebreaker to get the blood flowing, get everybody in a good mood. But we're going to go right into some questions. So take it away, Kelsey.
Yeah, well, I sure enjoyed learning a lot about you, Levon. I mean,
yeah, a little bit.
I have to tell you, I'm a little biased. I think I'm the only person with family from down south that prefers pumpkin pie over sweet potato pie. I know it's crazy.
Really?
And weird.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't really like.
Yeah.
I never like greens. So that's
okay. So now you're weirder than me now.
So we're in a weird category together.
That makes me feel better. That makes me feel better. But in all seriousness, we're very excited to have you on. As you mentioned, Ray just got to touch on some of your accolades. You've done a lot. The true question with you is, what haven't you done? But that's why we're excited to have you on this show. And we're just going to touch on your NFL career first. So, of course, you were Pittsburgh's second-round pick in the 1992 NFL draft. So my first question for you is, just take me back through that moment. What was it like getting selected in that draft class?
Oh, you know, it was amazing. You know, I'm from a really small town in South Carolina, Lamar, and it was just something that I always wanted to do. I got recruited by Clemson University. And the funny story was, when I got drafted, was I was at my sister's home. My parents didn't have cable at the time, and they didn't have two-way. At that time, nobody had kind of like call waiting or anything. So I had to tell my sister, listen, you got to get another line because, you know, there may be some people calling me. So, you know, I visited Pittsburgh probably like 2 weeks prior to that. And I just met Coach Cowher, and we had a great talk. And I really wanted to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the team I wanted to get drafted by. I wasn't sure I'd be a first round pick, but I thought second round, that would be my ticket. So the draft is on TV is definitely quite different than it is right now. When Pittsburgh came up, I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I said, they're going to pick me. I walked to the kitchen table where the phone was. Sure enough, the phone rang and one of the GM got on the phone. He said, hey, LeBron, we're really considering picking you at this pick. And I'm like, wow, considering? Okay. And then another scout came on, and I knew the scout through our time, and he was like, hey, man, do y'all got a TV in Lamar? I'm like, well, I'm not in Lamar, but yeah, we got TV. And he's like, well, do you guys got cable? I'm like, yeah, we got cable. And he was like, okay, well, your name's going to be flashing on the ticket, man. Congratulations. Welcome to the Black and Gold. It was just a dream come true for me.
Wow.
It was, you know, something when I was 11 years old, I told myself and I put it out in the air that I was going to play pro football. I kind of kept it to myself, but, you know, really was really no doubt that I was going to play in my 11-year-old mind. And it took a long time, but when that flash came on and said LeBron Kirby got drafted to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and funny thing was, I didn't get any highlights. It was going off the air. And
wow.
Yeah, so I got no highlights, but, you know, it was a cool thing being picked at 38th and really going to a quality team, quality coaching staff, and, you know, having a really good career. So I was really blessed.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the draft now, just curious, do you think it's too flashy now, or do you kind of like the old school way better of how they did it?
No, you know, I kind of like it. You know, I like the flash. I kind of wish we had that flash, but we didn't. But
yeah.
I think it's great. I really do. I think it's great for the kids, man. It's a big time dream if you ever been in that situation. And I really like the way they do it now, and they really celebrate the player. So it's kind of awesome, and I think it really does a good job of promoting the game, and I'm all about that. So I like the way they do it now.
Yeah, and I've seen in previous interviews you talked about how South Carolina, weirdly enough, I guess we all thought you guys would root for the Panthers, but you said it's like the Steelers, and what was the other team people root for in South Carolina? The pro team?
You know, the Cowboys are one of the teams.
Oh, interesting.
That, yeah, well, the reason why is that, you know, back in the day, the Carolinas didn't have a pro team. So basically, if you watch the AFC, the Pittsburgh Steelers were playing, and there was a lot of, you know, they won a bunch of championships. The Cowboys were really popular. So if you come to South Carolina, you definitely see a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans and a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans. And that's just the way it is. And that's because there were no teams back in the day.
Yeah, and you, and it was so cool. Obviously, you got to go to the team that you wanted to go to. You just described that. And I will now hand it over, because I want to hog all your time, to Tyrone, who I know will take us back through some of his favorite memories playing in the NFL as well, with his questions for you. So go ahead, Tyrone.
Hey, LeVon. Good to
What's
talk
happening?
With you again, buddy.
Yeah.
I remember, man, when I came out, you know, Greg, you know, was the one that I was talking to. And you know, I remember you guys, you know, he talking about you and just that Steeler defense, because actually Dom Capers came from you guys, and he was the coach for the Carolina Panthers. So Dom asked Greg a lot about me. And, you know, Greg talked about the defense and the Blitzburg. That's what they called it, Blitzburg. But I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Yeah, and I'm going to turn it over to Ray. He asked a couple of questions. We could bounce back and forth. But your first signing bonus, you got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do? I remember what I did with my first signing bonus and what I did. What did you do with your first signing bonus?
I think I stared at it and I fell in love. And then I slept with it a couple of times beside me, and then I just kind of, you know, made sure it got to my investors, and, you know, I put a little bit in the bank. But the first couple of days, man, especially when you're a college student, you're so into not having money, and being from where I'm from, I mean, we're from a modest family, and to see that signing bonus, it was kind of like, wow. I mean, you kind of wonder what to do with that purse. You know, you're just like, what am I going to do with all this money? But you kind of figure it out, and it was mind-blowing. It really was.
Yeah. And for all those listeners who are listening, and when they hear me mention Greg Lloyd, you know, Kevin Green, you know, Brown, you know, these are the linebacker core that LeVon played with. And we all know in a 3-4 defense, the linebackers, man, they run the show. And a lot of people don't know how nimble you were for your size. It's just like Jerome Bettis. I'm like, people look at him, they're like, how can he move like that? LeVon Kirkland, middle linebacker, at his height and weight, this guy was nimble, people. I'm telling you, you know. So what was special about you? What made you be so different and revolutionize the size of that position, your size at the position?
You know, honestly, and I talk to kids about this, I played all sports in high school. I didn't just play football. I played basketball. I ran track. I was a high jumper in high school. I guess my highest was around 6'4", so it wasn't bad for a guy who was like 195, 200 pounds back then. And I just really, I was a really good athlete. I was coming into Clemson. I didn't weigh really that much. But at the time, they wanted athletes. They wanted guys that could move. They didn't really care about your size, because they felt like they could develop you, make you bigger, make you stronger. So a lot of that really comes from just really being an all-around athlete in high school. And also, honestly, I just jumped a lot of rope. I was a jump roper. I had sisters. I had four sisters, so I had to jump rope with them all the time. And so that was a part of that. I think that's really all I can, you know, how I can put it. And when I became, you know, when I went to Pittsburgh, I wasn't an inside linebacker in college. I played outside, so I never really played the position at all. They wanted to move me there because they thought that I would be a better athlete. And the reason why I got bigger, because I had to take on guards and fullbacks, and back then the league was a little different, a little bit more run oriented. And so it was physical. But it was funny that I fit right in perfectly. My position and my size was really my advantage. That a lot, but I could move, I could run, I could cover, which most people would never, if they see me, they would never think that.
Yeah.
But that was a surprising thing, and that was always mentioned, you know, not only by my teammates, by other people that I play with. They're just like, man, how can you be so big and move so fast? But, you know, Jerome Bettis, he was the same way. We're just really quick guys, just very athletic for our size, and you know, you never really saw that. So when I was running down the field with a tight end, they're looking at me like, "How long is this big guy running with me?" And you know, every time I talk to players, they say, "Man, we look at the film, and be like, man, how's this dude doing this?"
I
can't really explain it. I just was I was an all around athlete in high school, and I think playing basketball, running track, helped me to be a really good athlete.
Yeah, and I believe in that, too, is exactly what you said, Laverne. Ray, I want to turn it over to you. You got anything for Mr. Kirkland?
Yes, I do, sir. You just spoke on your versatility and your ability to move as a big athlete, a big player. Who in the current NFL linebacker-wise reminds you of yourself the most?
Ooh, wow. I'm not sure there's a lot of guys. I think probably the closest guy maybe is, and I mean, like, I think he's a better athlete than I was, but I think the guy from Seattle, he is a tremendous player. He's a big dude. Wagner. Wagner kind of reminds me a little bit of myself. You know, maybe a little taller. But, yeah, you know, there's not really a lot of guys that I see in the NFL now that that I can compare myself with, you know. These guys are, you know, fortunate for them, they're not as big as I was. And,
you know, special.
Yeah, I just probably added a little bit more than I should have. But, it's not that many guys like that. And, like I said before, I was a lot more versatile than people, you know, maybe the outside people knew, but I think people who was in the league, who coached in the league, who was my cohorts, they knew how versatile I was. They knew I could do everything. So I don't think there's a lot of guys that were really like me, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Special guy.
Oh, thank you, man. You're very nice.
I just got one more question. Is there any player that you really wanted to get a good tackle on that you potentially didn't get a good hit on during your time playing?
Well, probably Barry Sanders. But luckily we didn't play him a lot. But, Barry was kind of hard to really tackle. But I wanted to get a good lick on Barry. But, everybody else I pretty much got, you know, a pretty decent hit on, you know. But Barry Sanders was the one that he was a unicorn at the time. I mean, the guy was he could move. He had a great sense of gravity. You could hold him down for about 20 yards, and then in the fourth quarter, he'd bust out an 80-yard on you or 50-yard on you. So he was unique, especially because Detroit wasn't really that great at some times, and he just made them better. So I think it'd be Barry Sanders is the one that I wish I could have got a really good lick on.
Laverne, in 1995, you guys playing in Super Bowl 30 against the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, like you said, all those guys who know about football and know about those Dallas Cowboys under the Jimmy Johnson era when they had Emmitt Smith and that big old massive offensive line, and they were running the ball left and right. You guys played them in Super Bowl 30, okay?
Right.
And held those boys to 15 first downs, and Emmitt Smith basically 56 yards despite losing the Super Bowl. What was so special about that team that got you guys to Super Bowl 30?
Well, you know, honestly, that team that year we went through, we started off 3-4. And the story was that Bill Cowher, he did something I thought was really unique at the time, was he basically told us to forget those first 7 games, that we're going to start our season right now. We knew we were a good team. We just wasn't really playing as well. And for me, it was awakening for me because at that time, I basically told myself I wasn't going to worry about my stats anymore. I was going to basically play for the team, and I was going to play to win. And it didn't really matter if I made a tackle as long as I helped the team win. And I took that mindset, and I really started playing better. I became a real, really good player, started really trusting myself a little bit more. And our season went, you know, after that 3-4, we started going like, okay, we want to know. We beat Jacksonville. And then I think we went to Chicago. We beat those guys. And we're like, okay, now we 2-0. and I think we pull off 8 straight wins, and we lost to Green Bay on a drop pass by Yancey Thigpen, but by Coach Carroll really changing our mindset about the season and that the season was really starting over, we kind of bought into that. And what we started to do, like Greg Lloyd and guys, we would hang out as a team. It was mandatory mm-hmm. that we go to different spots after, like, our Friday practice. We would actually go out to clubs as a whole team, you know. So we got to know each other. And we really started respecting each other and loving each other. I mean, it was more so, it wasn't just the black guys or the white guys. It was a whole team. So you got to know each other, and we started playing better for each other and harder for each other. So that was one of the – I think that's the reason why we play so well. And when we got to the Super Bowl, you know, we knew that we came from a 3-4 spot. And that we had a chance to do something special. And also, you know, they talked about the Cowboys so much, man. They kept saying, how are you guys going to stop these guys? How are you guys going to stop these guys? And I took it personally. I took it personally against Emmitt Smith, and I was going to, like, my mother was the linebacker in our family, and you know, she had an attitude that no one was better than us Kirklands, and I felt the same way. I felt like I'm gonna do my best to stop Emmitt Smith. You know, I knew it was a challenge, but I wasn't afraid of that challenge. And you know, as a team, man, we really, you know, that first drive, you know, they kind of scored on. We settled down after that. Once we settled down and started playing.
That was it.
Yeah, we kind of shut them out. So it was unfortunate that we lost the game, but you can't turn the ball over twice like we did. But that was the great experience for me. Even, I mean, yeah, we lost, and you would want to win a Super Bowl, but it was a great experience. I had probably the game that probably turned my career around. It really helped my career. I really stood out that game. And it's so funny because – I stood out because I, you know, really gave myself to the team. And once I started coaching, you know, that's one of the things I try to preach to players about having a higher purpose and about giving it up for your teammates, playing to win. And, you know, I think when you play that way, your individual stats will improve, no doubt about it.
Yes, that's good. Well, in my advice, you guys should have won Super Bowl 30, y'all should have beaten the Dallas Cowboys.
No question.
Yeah, that's just my opinion. Yeah.
And it's something that you never forget. You never forget being in the Super Bowl, especially if you lose. You're kind of like, man, what if? But it was a great experience. I mean, I got to see Vanessa Williams. That was kind of cool. Just all the stuff you do in the Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, just that whole week is just amazing. So.
Yeah.
I would tell anybody just to enjoy and just have fun.
Yeah, and before I give it to Kelsey or Ray, like you said, Vanessa Williams, when we played in Super Bowl 38, one of my memories, I'm about 5 yards away from Beyonce when she was singing. So I'm like, oh, that's about the closest
I
ever been.
Right?
You know, it's like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, because, you know, we're in helmets all the time, so people don't really know us. They don't really know us. So you want to go up and just say hello. I just, you know, we were doing a coin toss at the time. But I'm telling you, I almost did it, but I didn't do it.
Talk about the moments you want back. And it's funny just hearing these stories. And I think, like you said, sometimes people don't realize that. But, right, like, you're in the helmet. You don't always get those opportunities. But definitely see why you guys both remember those beautiful, beautiful women. And now we're going to switch it over to the Clemson University National Champions, which I know you were pretty excited about, LeVon. Before we get to talk about that, how did you celebrate that national championship win?
By watching it again. And over and over and over.
Can't get enough.
Yeah, so that's basically how I celebrated. I was actually, I had a ticket to go, but I didn't go. And I just kind of wanted to watch it with some friends of mine. My roommate, his family, and so we watched it, and I had a good feeling that we're going to do pretty well. You know, you never know if you're going to win. If people say, well, they're going to win, you don't really know sometimes. I mean, there's some games that you're like, you know, this is Alabama, and they have proven to be the best team in college football. But I thought we would play well. I thought that our formula was a lot better than the year before we played them in the semifinals. So I thought we could drive downfield, and I thought we had some dynamic players. But, man, I never thought you would see what we saw with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Ross and just how well those guys played. And they just seemed to be on a – I mean, Clemson that night – was just on another level that I don't think Alabama was ready for. I think that we outmatched them down the field, and we made some tremendous plays. I mean, that first pick six by Terrell was just amazing. And I think it went from there. Even though Alabama scored 14 points or 16 points, you can tell that we were ready for that game. And, you know, those turnovers, and we got some really big plays on them, which is usually not normal to happen to them. And I think, you know, once Trevor got going, it was amazing to see. And to beat Alabama in that fashion is something that you will never forget. You feel a part of it, you know, because you went there. But Dabo Sweeney and his staff, they've done such a tremendous job with those young players, really cultivating a culture that that I think is different, that I think is unique. It allows the players to have fun. It allows the players to grow up as men. So I think they work hard, but I think they have a lot of fun playing football for Coach Sweeney. And that staff hasn't really changed a lot. You know, it's pretty much been the same staff for the last 4 or 5 years. So everybody's familiar with each other, and I think that there is some great relationships going on there. And Clemson at this time, probably, I mean, the athletes that we have and the players that we have and the way we play, and we don't really have a lot of guys that get into a whole lot of trouble. It's just a good culture there, and it's exciting to see excellence at Clemson University.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun. That championship game will be one that we all remember for sure. You guys definitely put a stop to Alabama, the Roll Tide. Had to put a stop to him as Clemson came. And like you said, you won in dominant fashion. And just saying that, I know you've seen all the chatter about the White House visit that Clemson University did. And we talked about it on the last show. Just curious to hear your thoughts. As a former player of Clemson University, I mean, what were your thoughts on the celebration? Did you agree with it? Is President Donald Trump getting too much slack for it? I mean, what are your overall thoughts?
You know, I think it wasn't surprising. Like, it didn't shock me that he would do that. I just think that if you go to the White House to be honored like that, that you're expecting a little bit more than what you get on a normal basis. That's something that you can get on a normal basis. It wasn't about the burgers, because you could have got some burgers that were unique. You know, these are the best burgers in town. You know, maybe it was gourmet grill in some kind of fashion. But to get McDonald's, Wendy's, something that you can get on a normal basis, I thought it was a little, it just wasn't well planned. It's just, I don't know, it's just kind of a, you know, I don't know if it was such a slap in the face, but it just wasn't a good idea. You know, it just wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have, I think you would think that the White House, the President of the United States, would have done a little better, especially to excellent young men, excellent program. I think they deserve a little bit more than McDonald's, but I think the players and the coaching staff, they really did a good job of handling it. It was nothing that they could have done about it. I'm sure they had no idea that. You would think that the President of the United States would have done a little bit better than just McDonald's and Wendy's and... Yeah, that was pretty bad. It seemed like it was like after a Pop Warner game. You know, like you have a Pop Warner game, and after the game, we're going to serve you guys burgers. That is perfectly fine. But I think for the national champions, I thought they deserved a little bit better than that. That's just my opinion. And
I wanted to ask you, as
tacky,
a former football player.
Tacky. I would have been surprised. It's kind of funny because I know one of my ex-teammates, he was like, well, we used to get Wendy's after, you know, Friday nights, you know, all the time when we played. I'm like, yeah, but that was just like a Clemson on a regular season game. So that wasn't a big deal. Yeah, I mean, that's what we did. But I would think we going to the White House, you would want to get something a little bit better. I've never heard of a president doing anything remotely like that. So to me, it was a little bit insulting. It wasn't surprising. But it was definitely a little low bridge there. I mean, kind of pushy, in my opinion.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that, just because obviously there's a lot of talk about it, especially here in D.C. still. But I'm like, I'm going to the White House. I want the fancy I want the fancy silverware, right, coming out. I want the fancy place. And I want the fancy meal, especially after that performance. But, I mean, it is what it is. But I'm so excited for Clemson.
Didn't they have the old package of the old McDonald's? The Big Macs. I mean, have you seen a Big Mac lately?
Oh, my
gosh.
Right, because it was college food. In college, that's what we ate, right? Like, it's what you could get.
Yeah,
but, like, you know, I mean, the national championship
can come out. But you're in college, though. You struggle.
Yeah.
The struggle is real in college, So, you know, Big Mac was like, I took a Big Mac in the day back in college. I mean, this is the White House. They just won a national championship. I mean, there got to be some presidential ice cream or something in the back.
Bring out the good stuff. Bring out the good stuff. I just have to get your thoughts and opinions on that, since it's still something we're talking about.
It was, it wasn't surprising, but especially.
And just before I turn it over, one thing, actually, I'll go over your accolades at Clemson. You were named to the Clemson University All-Centennial Team, and you were inducted into the school's Hall of Fame in 2001. And after retiring from the NFL, you returned to Clemson to earn your sociology degree in 2004, and you have worked with Clemson University coordinating minority recruitment and university admissions. One thing that really drew my eye was you returning back to get your sociology degree. And it's something we see more players doing after their careers are over. So for players that are finishing their NFL career, whether it's from injury or from retirement, I mean, what advice would you give them about going back and finishing school if they did not already?
I think that when I went back, it was something that I told my father I would do. I wasn't that far from graduating, maybe a few hours, maybe a semester. And, you know, I just retired, you know, I purposely took a year off. I just got married. And my wife was like, you know, this would be a good time for you to go back to college. And I was like, it really would be. So I went back, and I only had like 14 credits to earn my degree. I was like, let's do it. And so the first day or so, I was a little nervous. It was, you know, I was going to be the older guy in school. But after that first class, I got over it quickly. I realized that I was there for one reason only, is to get my degree. And people were just like, you're back to get your degree? I'm like, I mean, it's just, I think when you don't have it, and I didn't have it at the time, you know, people will want me to speak at different schools. And I just didn't think it was right for me to do that, because I felt like, well, I don't have my degree. How can I tell somebody else to go to school and do well in school when I didn't finish? So it didn't, like, make me, but it really gave me a versatility, you know, that I wouldn't have had otherwise. So, you know, my advice, if that's something that you want to do, some guys don't want to do it, and I understand that. But I think it's a good way to move forward. I think it's a good way to really, like I said before, just makes you more versatile. And playing that long in the NFL, you know, there were some things I took from it. And really, I became a better student from being in the NFL. You know, doing all the studying that we did as far as our opponents and game planning, it helped me to be a better student. And, you know, just that whole, I think football makes a difference, and I think it helps you to goal set, work with different people. There's a lot of great things about the game of football, And I took that back with me when I went to get my degree, and I started in January, and I finished up in August of the same year. So
wow.
I thought it was a pretty good accomplishment, and, you know, I was really proud of myself for going back to do that, because that's not easy after you've been out of school for, you know, 11 or 12 years, and you got to go back to that stats class that you, you know, try to dodge when you were in college. So I think it was better when I went across that stage. It was better than winning any game that I've won before. I mean, it was an amazing feeling to go back and finish. And, you know, I made my parents proud, and, you know, that was big for me also. So it was tremendous. I think it really does. Like I said, it doesn't make or break you, but I think it helps you to be a little bit more versatile. And I'm all about that, you know, just helping people become a little bit more versatile. So it was great.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I'm now going to hand it over to Tyrone to lead our conversation with you about the recent NFL playoff games.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Laverne, you know, you've had playoff experience. I've had playoff experience. So with the past games, the Pats and the Chiefs and the Saints and the Rams, which I'm pretty sure all the Saints fans are going to be talking about that one particular play. But what is your view? What did you take away in those games that maybe the fan didn't see, but as a player you saw, as far as the Patriots and the Chiefs first, the Patriots win, and then the Rams victory over the Saints?
Well, you know, I really believe in a law of momentum. I do. And what that means is that I think that usually the good teams, they're going to get the breaks, they get the calls. And it's just kind of a mystique thing. I think if you're the team that's the underdog, that honestly you have to take the momentum. And that's what the playoffs are about. It doesn't matter, you know, your record or anything like that. It's that one game, and you got to give it all you got for that one game. And I would say with the Patriots and the Chiefs, at some point for Kansas City, you got to play defense. I mean, that was kind of ridiculous. And it hurts you when you don't play defense in the playoffs. If you don't play in the regular season, it will catch up with you in the playoffs because, as you know, the temperature is a lot higher. And, I mean, the game is definitely different than the regular season. Yeah. Guys play harder. There's more energy. It's more intense. That's just how the NFL playoffs are. And if you can't play defense, it's going to bite you. Or if you can't really score a lot of points, it's going to bite you. Because the level is up now. In Kansas City, no matter what people say about the overtime rules or whatever like that, I think, in my mind, is that you got to stop them. You know, you got to get a stop. Somebody has to step up and make a defensive play. Kansas City not only could have not stopped the run, they could not make the adjustments. I mean, New England did basically the same thing. They brought them 11 into motion. He got behind a guy, and he just went inside. They played two-man the whole time, and that corner, whoever was guarding Element or whatever his name is, they could never adjust. And you see this. It's happening the whole time, and they never even double-teamed the guy or understood that, hey, man, this guy is coming in the middle. I'm going to do what I got to do to make sure that he doesn't catch this ball or I can get an interception. Yeah. And I think defenses are just not, I don't know. In that game, they're just not that savvy. And I'm not talking about the scheme. I think players are not as savvy as, and I hate to say this, it makes me sound like old man Kirkland, but I think back in our day, we adjusted. We took chances. We understood what was going to happen. If you did it to me once, there's no way you're going to come back and do it to me again. And I felt that Tom Brady he's just a man. and he picked those guys apart. But at some point in time, defense has got to come back in the NFL, because as a former defensive player and you being a defensive player, it just looks bad. It really does. It's just as a defensive guy, it just looks bad.
Yeah. Now here's your 4th and 1 on the 1, and then we're going to give it to Kelsey. What's your prediction? Who wins the Super Bowl 53?
Wow. That's tough, because, you know, it's really tough to say go against Tom Brady and what they've done and the history they have in New England. I think that the Rams will play a better style of defense. They will. And I think they have the weapons, especially if Gurley can come back and play well. If Gurley is healthy, I think the Rams are going to do it. I do.
All right. You got him. You said the Rams.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You heard that, Kelsey?
And I don't hate on this. And I don't
it.
Hate.
I
and I don't hate on excellence, man. I don't hate on Tom. Like, anybody who's excellent, one of my rules is I never hate on excellence. If you're doing well and you're doing something good, I applaud you. I really do. So it's not about me not liking the Patriots or anything like that. You ask me my honest assessment. You know, would I be surprised if the Patriots win? No, because Tom Brady is just that good, and they're just that good. But I think in this scenario, a team could be beaten, you know.
Yeah,
they can be.
I agree.
So, you know, if the Rams come out there and they do their thing, they can win it. They really can, because I think they got a better defense. I think they'll do a better job of stopping the run. I think they're going to try to pass on them a little bit more than what they did with Kansas City. But, you know, if they can stop the run and they can just challenge, I think you got to challenge those receivers. You got to get in their face. You got to blitz Tom Brady. People say don't blitz him. I think you got to blitz him, because I don't think Tom Brady, he doesn't like getting hit, more so than most quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you got to challenge them. I think when the team is deemed really great, I think you got to be more aggressive to them. You got to be more aggressive. Uh-huh. It's just like a bully in high school. Bully, you know, mm-hmm. You got to take it to the bully. And I think the Rams mm-hmm. got to take it to them.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you got the main man's inside linebacker prediction, the Rams. So you won't be surprised if the Patriots win. All right, no. Kelsey.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your prediction. And before we let you go, one of your mm-hmm. newest ventures, I don't know if everyone knows this, Alon, but the Vice President of Development at the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. Tell us about what your job kind of role will be in that. And then what else is next for you? What can we look out for?
Okay, well, this is something that's more is dear to my heart, because honestly, we're helping young folks through football. And what that means is I'm responsible for raising money for a new learning center that we're going to have in South Carolina. It's going to house the Football Hall of Fame as far as the players that have been inducted in there, but also it's going to serve as a serve as some programs like the bridge building program that we have going, the workforce program that we have going. And we're just really getting the word out about how football is going to help these young men. And we're not really basically starting when you get to the 9th grade. We think that's a little too late. We're going to try to go into the elementary schools and give them what we call soft skills abilities, so that they could be prepared when they finish high school, or they can be prepared really when they go to high school, when they leave high school, when they graduate. And we're going to be a network for those guys for all their lives. So we're going to try to, like when I played football, we didn't have a lot of mentors that you knew that played the game. We're going to try to introduce these guys to the game of football, and also introduce them to people who play football and really love it. And, you know, South Carolina is big on football. We've had a lot of good talent that come out of here. And so we just want to cultivate some really good relationships, not only with the players that we're going to be helping, but also the community. So, I hope to really serve a purpose. You know, just like I told you guys before, When I played better is when I played for others and I played for a greater purpose. And this is basically what this is all about. It's about me really serving the purpose. And this is about helping young people through the game of football to gain some great skills and go to the next level. And that next level is not necessarily to the NFL or anything like that, but man, you can use football as a vehicle. You really can. It's a great way to get a scholarship. It's a great way to pay for college. It can give you a lot of great networks. So hopefully, you know, that's what we're going to do. And that's my purpose, man, to give back to these kids through the game of football.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That is truly wonderful. We wish you the best wishes in your new venture, and we know you'll continue to do great things in the great state of South Carolina. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, man, thank you guys for having me. Anytime you need me, you know, I'm a phone call away. Let me know.
Thank you so much. Again, we appreciate you, and best wishes with everything, and we'll definitely have you back.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much to the one and only LeVon Kirkland for joining us right here on Listen In with KNN. We still have a lot of great show left, but you'll have to stay tuned right after this commercial break, and we will be right back.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch. And if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, where I am joined by none other than my co-host Ray Jones and Tyrone Poole, my sports analyst. Of course, I'm Chelsea Nicole Nelson. And we have to get back to doing it big in the DMV, because you guys know I always like to show love to the hometown roots, where the Washington Redskins are still the conversation, because Bruce Allen is back. Yes, I know the hashtag fire Bruce Allen has been trending, and there have been t-shirts selling like crazy to get him fired. Of course, Allen was originally hired in the 2009 season to be a general manager for the soon-to-be-hired, of course, Mike Shanahan, who took over all operations of the franchise after Shanahan left following the 2013 season. All right, guys, in the time with the Redskins, Allen's teams went to the playoffs two times, both first-round losses, and were 59-84-1. Let me kick it off to you, Tyrone. Is Bruce Allen the problem with the Washington Redskins organization?
You know what? Game is settled on the field. You know, you can blame people, you can use the scapegoats, and you know, but Bruce Allen does not go out on the field and play. Yes, he does bring in the talent. Yes, he does bring in the coaches. But at the end of the day, what people have to understand, too, he has an owner to answer to. So regardless if he wants to pick blue, the owner wants red, he has to stand up in front of the media and say what the owner says. So in that regard, you know, you can't totally put everything on Bruce Allen. There's the player's responsibility. There's the owner responsibility. And Bruce is just the guy that is delivering the mail. So don't shoot the messenger. But I think, you know, he has a proven track record. He knows the game. He's been inside the game. So I think with that experience, he can continue and hopefully get the Redskins where they want to be, like they were back in the 80s.
Back in the 80s. All right, bringing up good memories, Tyrone. Better memories here in Washington, D.C. Let me switch it over to you, Ray. What are your thoughts? Should Bruce Allen remain at the helm? I mean, he was given an extension. Are the Washington Redskins, do they just not know what's going on and why their team continues to leave us in the sorrow here in D.C.?
Well, I don't think it's really Bruce Allen's fault. It seems like the Redskins always seem to get hit with the injury bug, and they get hit pretty hard. As you saw, Alex Smith getting injured this year. Back when they were actually pretty hot, they had an RG3 suffer a devastating injury. It seems like there's always somebody getting hurt that just kind of derails their season. He just hit with a lot of bad luck, and there's not much he can do about that. He's putting some quality people on the field, signed Josh Norman to a big contract. He's performed well. But it's just sometimes – the players get hurt, and they don't really necessarily have the players behind them to fulfill the roster. So maybe he could take some heat for that. But when your quarterback gets hurt, that devastates a team. So there's not much you can really do recovery-wise from that. And then to see Alex Smith get hurt and then Colt McCoy got hurt right after him, so you down to your third string quarterback or having to sign somebody off the street, you can't really blame that on the GM. So I really can't say – I never want to see somebody get fired. I never want to say they should get fired. So I really don't blame it on him per se. Maybe it's time to move on somewhere else, but I don't know if it's necessarily his fault. He's putting players in place.
Yeah, you talked about putting players in place. I'm like you guys. I don't think it all falls on just one person. It does go back to the field. And I just said the injury bug hit the Washington Redskins hard. I mean, I don't think anybody had worse quarterback luck. And we literally had to get a guy that played was playing pickup basketball and hadn't touched a football in a long time to the Washington Redskins. So there was a lot of stuff going on with the team. I mean, they weren't the worst team in the NFL, but of course things have to change. Hopefully next year the Washington Redskins can stay healthy, and I think they have the big name players on it. They just have to produce. Everybody needs to do their job, but I think Washington Redskins fans, Bruce Allen is not going anywhere, so guess what? Find something else to complain about and pick on because he is here to stay in Washington. And now I'm going to switch it over to my Kelsey's Do Good segment, where we just celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And one thing I really wanted to shout out and point out, if you don't know already, is the NBA MLK Day tributes that they do all across the country. And I think the NBA obviously sees how important it is. They put the games in the spotlight. They play them in the middle of the day. If you're watching those NBA games, you know, the teams wear the custom designed MLK Day warm-up shirts that are made by Mikey. And then they sell those shirts to the public. And all of those proceeds are actually donated to the National Civil Rights Museum. I do not know if everybody knew that. But really, and also they just try to highlight the good work that the players do in the community. So I'll start with you, Ray. I mean, how important is it that a league like the NBA continues to honor the legacy of the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
I think it's a great program they run. I appreciate all the acknowledgement of the great things that Dr. Martin Luther King did for the world, for our country, and just for humanity in general. It's a great thing that the NBA does. I like the way that the players, you know, they wear specialized shoes and specialized jerseys for this moment. So kudos to the NBA. They did it right. They do it right. The only thing I did want to look down on, why would they make the Thunder play the Knicks? Come on. You know my Knickerbockers are not doing well. Why put us on the national spotlight to get
yeah.
That was my only, you know, my only down part. But outside of that, kudos to the NBA.
I'm sorry, Ray. I'm sorry for that. It wasn't a good idea. But yeah, I have nothing to say back to that, Ray. I'm sorry, I can't make you feel better. But now I will switch it over to you, Tyrone. What are your thoughts on these great tributes going on throughout the MLK holiday in the NBA?
I'll be short and quick. I like it. I love it. But just like any, holiday, which is given probably a day or a month, I would like to see more done. There is more history. Uh-huh. There is more things that our culture has done. And, to celebrate it throughout the year would be, I think, the bell ringer.
The bell ringer. I'm like you. I would love to see more done. I think it's a start, but we're still not finished yet. I will now switch it over to Ray to give us our Are You Serious Right Now segment of what's happening in the sports world.
Since we're talking basketball, I want to go ahead and make sure I look at the Lakers right in their face and say, are you serious right now? Like, you guys bought in LeBron James. They bought in LeBron James. They didn't necessarily build a great roster around him. Granted, there was a lot of young pieces they wanted to develop, but they bought in a lot of free agents that didn't necessarily sit with LeBron. Since his injury on Christmas, they are now 5-8. They fell from 4th in the West to 9th in the West. And then they also just got hit with some more bad news because now Lonzo Ball, their starting point guard, is out 4 to 6 weeks with a grade 3 ankle sprain. It seems like things are going downhill right now. And I don't know if there's any light at the end of the tunnel for this because we're not sure when LeBron's going to be able to come back. Every week it seems like there's new updates saying he's going to miss 2 to 3 more games. There is one good note that potentially could come from this. Carmelo Anthony did get traded to the Chicago Bulls, who are electing to waive him, and the Lakers are showing interest. It may not be a long-term fix. It's probably just a Band-Aid over a broken ankle, but it's something that could potentially help them out, get them some scoring until LeBron can come back and save the day. Unfortunately, we do know LeBron is getting a little older in age. Will he be able to save the day? That is the biggest question. So I got to look at Magic Johnson and say, are you serious right now? What are you going to do to fix this? Bringing in Tyson Chandler was a great move. Probably should have got Trevor Ariza. Went a little harder for that. But right now, you're in trouble. So what are you going to do?
Good points. And I mean, like you said, right, with the Lakers,
That LeBron injury, I mean, I think Brian Windhorst said it best. He said they haven't been 100% truthful. It seems like this injury, we really don't know what's going on. It seems like it's been prolonged, as he said. We don't know what's going to happen to James. They've been depriving us since Christmas Day, and now with the Lonzo injury. But, like, LA's just hurting right now. At least they have the Rams, I guess. But I think the Los Angeles Lakers, they are a young team. Let's be honest with ourselves. We knew LeBron was going to carry this team. I mean, look what happened with the Cavs when LeBron left. So I think we're seeing the same thing. So, of course, yes, they rely on him. But it just shows really how much LeBron needs to be there. But I think it just shows everybody else has to step up. I think in Washington, the Wizards are doing that with the absence of John Wall. They've had everybody else step up to the plate and are still doing fairly decent. Some even liking the Wizards better without John Wall at the helm. But, Ray, I feel for Los Angeles fans because I think, unfortunately, things are only going to get worse until they get LeBron back. But I know some people are actually saying, Ray, that maybe they should trade for a point guard in Lonzo's injury absence.
But who would they trade for?
That's what the question is. That's what I want to know. That's what would be interesting because, right, who would they trade for?
And what pieces are you willing to give up for them? That's a big question
That's the even harder part. Yep.
Rondo will be back shortly, so he can easily fill the role of Lonzo, but are you going to sacrifice a young guy for a short-term piece? I don't know.
We will have to keep our eyes on that. Looks like next show will be continuing to talk about that subject, but of course now we have to give the lady some love in my Woman Crush Everyday segment where Serena Williams, I mean, what can she not do? If you didn't hear the news, Williams defeated the world number one, 6-1, 4-6, and 6-4. Now, Carolina Pliskova awaits Williams in the quarterfinals. Serena Williams just continues to be a go. I'll start with you, Tyrone. Thoughts on Serena Williams? I mean, why is she just so unstoppable?
Well, I think it all starts with the genealogy. You got to look at how and why it started. I believe it started with her father instilling in them the attitude. I like to call it the three C's, confidence, consistency, and courage. And now that is weaving into her DNA and everything that she does going forward, that is her belief. So I've always believed that that's the difference between greatness and average, is the mindset of how you do things. And everything that she does, she believes that she's supposed to win. And it started with her parents.
Started in her parents. All right, Ray, your thoughts on Serena Williams reaching the quarterfinals of the Australian Open.
You know, I'm always going to root for Serena. She's the GOAT. I always want to see her win. She seems to catch a lot of flack from other people for whatever reason. So I'm always in her corner. I always want to see her do great. I always want to see her do well. As well, I think she's going to do that. I think she's going to dominate and she's going to win it all.
All right. Good luck, Serena. I think she's just continues to be fabulous. Like you said, Ray, she has a lot of haters. She shakes them off and just continues to be great and truly proving age is nothing but a number. All right, Wayne, you now have to give us what's the move in sports.
All right, typically I go towards the weekend, something coming up shortly, but I'm going to look a little further into the future this time because the NFL has just announced they're going to have 5 international games in the 2019 season. Two teams will make their UK debut, and there's going to be an AFC West showdown in Mexico. A quick rundown of the games. We're going to have the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Los Angeles Chargers in Mexico. We're going to have the Panthers play the Tampa Bay Bucks in the UK. The Bears will play Oakland in the UK. The Bengals will play the Rams. And the Houston Texans will play the Jaguars. So a couple of divisional games in there that may be pretty key to the playoffs of next year. So it's going to be interesting matchups. Tyrone, how do you feel about the NFL expanding more games into the foreign market, into the international market?
Again, we all know, like they say, you follow the paper trail, which this paper is money. So it's all about money. It's all about exposure. Once you get the exposure, then people start buying the paraphernalia. So every time a team goes international, whether it's the NFL, whether it's the NBA, is doing it, baseball, I'm like, it just increases the revenue. So behind this machine going overseas internationally is the money machine. So it's good to get exposure, but at the end of the day, the NFL is trying to make money.
I agree.
And I will just add, I mean, I think it's exciting, but like Tyrone said, it's all about money. Every sport is trying to go global now. We're all trying to be like football or soccer, as we call it, here in the USA. Is the more you can spread your sport across, let's say, countries and continents, the more money you're going to get. And I think it's going to be exciting. I think we've seen a lot of people, especially for those UK games, get very excited. I like the Mexico move. I just want us to remember what happened this year with Mexico with the field not being ready. So hopefully next season it will be ready and it's something that we can really get excited for. Because, of course, it's a trip. The players seem, for the most part, to be excited about it, other than the jet lag that they kind of get going back, especially if they have a short week after those games. But at the end of the day, the NFL, like Carolyn said, they're all in for making more money. So it seems like everybody wins. All right. Well, thank you both so much for your input on the NFL going global. We'll keep our eyes on that in the 2019 season. Who knows? Listening with KNN might be there for the game action covering on the field or in the press box. But of course, now, as we always like to end our show, let's head it over to Tyrone Poole for our motivational quote of the week. Go ahead, Tyrone.
All right. Welcome to Tyrone's motivational quote of the week. Two teams have punched their tickets to Super Bowl 53, which is less than 2 weeks away, the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. I want to focus today's motivation talk on the storylines of Super Bowl 53. McCarty twins playing in the same Super Bowl. The Battle of the Minds, 66-year-old Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, versus Sean McVay, 33-year-old Rams, Los Angeles Rams head coach. The blueprint to beat Tom Brady. The Rams got a gift. The Saints got swindled. Are the Patriots the greatest franchise in NFL history? Regardless of these storylines, which are simply distractions for the players, let's not forget why they are playing in the Super Bowl: to win the Lombardi Trophy. So just like the Super Bowl, which is a game, in our lives, let's not get distracted with storylines and forget our purpose in life. So today's Tyrone motivational quote is, do not become so focused on the opposition that you lose sight of the opportunity.
So powerful. As always, thank you, Tyrone, for getting us through this week. I will have to keep that quote in my head. I like that about not focusing on the storylines. And of course, as always, thank you both for joining us, Ray. A pleasure to have you back, as always. And for everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with KNN. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the KNN bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online each and every Tuesday at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support truly matter to each and every one of us. Until next week, when we will be live at the Super Bowl and Radio Row coverage, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.